Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Now, sometimes we think that a thing that is extremely easy to do is probably redundant. But do you think that this commandment, thou shalt not kill, is redundant to you and me? Because we can safely say that none of us in this century has ever taken a human life before. Or will ever, perhaps at this time, at this sound mind that we have, we will ever want to take a human life, even in the future. So are you thinking that this commandment number 6 is therefore obsolete? Not relevant to us, because it is very likely that none of us will ever take a human life. Now, nothing can be further from the truth when we truly understand the meaning of this commandment, as to be applied to us today more than any other time. Now, the background of this commandment, we all know by now, it is God giving the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel by the hand of Moses. The children of Israel to realize the significance of this commandment number 6, because there will be a lot of killing that they will do as they are moving closer and nearer to the land of promise. For they are going to kill men, women, and children who dwell in the promised land. Well, the Amalekite, the Jebusite, the Canaanite, and many other inhabitants in the Holy Land. And this is the command of God. God wanted them to wipe them all out, not keeping a single one alive. And so in doing all this killing, did Israel break commandment number 6? The answer is no. The reason is because the children of Israel, as they remember this commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill, it is a commandment for their day-to-day community living. How they relate to one another in their day-to-day life. The command that God gave to the children of Israel to kill all the inhabitants of the land does not contradict His command. This command was given to Joshua, and how Joshua will lead Israel to conquer the land of promise without sparing anyone. All the cities that they can find will all have to be destroyed. So in other words, even babies, they all have to die. Even animals, all have to be destroyed. Now why so harsh? Why did God give such a tough commandment to Israel? Just to get rid of every single person who is alive in the land of promise before Israel can take over the entire promised land. Why so hard? Well, the reason is, of course we know, is because of the idolatry, the spiritual adultery, that the inhabitants of the land were engaged in child sacrifice, offering to their idols, to Molech, to Baal, to many other heathen gods, affected from the oldest to even the youngest. The entire life is filled with idolatry. And even the animals are not spared. So every sign and glimpses of idolatry all have to be gotten rid of for the sake of Israel. There should be no contamination. There should be no infiltration. And so Israel had to obey the commandment of God. Now let us also understand that the sins of the inhabitants of the land were already full. And so it was all ready for the children of Israel to conquer the land of promise. It is the judgment of God against the heathen in the promised land. And also let us understand that God has a right to take any life, and since He is the giver of all life. And so therefore, commandment number 6 was not broken when the children of Israel destroy all the cities, taking men, women, and even children, and even their stock to be completely destroyed. Now, if we look at this commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill, it is for the children of Israel how they relate to one another. Now, we know the first 4 commandments is pertaining to our relationship with God. Okay, how we should have no other God before Him. We should not harbor any secret love for anything that will take God's place. We should always give God the priority. The reason why we live is because of Him. The reason why we work is also because of Him. So, God is our motivation. God is our reason and purpose for everything that we do. God is the only God that we should follow. And then, we should not conform God into an image and then bow down to it. Okay, because God is a spirit. And then thirdly, we are not to take the name of God in vain. Not using God's name as a swear word. Or even His character and attribute. Using it loosely. You know, when we are angry, words may come out from our mouth. So we have to be very careful with what we say. And then we have to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. And how the Sabbath day has changed to the Lord's Day because of the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so the first 4 commandments, well, it pertains to our relationship with God. How we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And then the rest of the 6th commandment is how we relate to one another. How we love one another, you know, as ourselves. Of course, we have dealt with commandment number 5, how we honor our parents, to give weight. Okay, the word honor is to give weight, to really honor them. They are God's gift to us, children. We did not get to choose our parents. God is the one who chose them for us. God makes no mistake. And so therefore, we must honor them in the Lord. And now as we come to commandment number 6, the preservation of life. How the children of Israel is to regard life. How God would want you and I, or rather the children of Israel, to cherish life. Because very easily, out of anger, out of bitterness, you just use your hand and smite the other person. And that's what happened to the first brothers in the book of Genesis. In the beginning of time, the first murder was committed out of anger, out of envy, so easily. Well, in fact, this is not the first time that thou shalt not kill is given. In fact, if you look to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, okay? Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 tells us. Okay, let us turn to it. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So already in the time of the Genesis, the book of the beginning, the sanctity of life, well, is already seen over here. Well, God is the giver of life. Who are we to take away life anyhow? God is the control. And so just because we are angry, we are not supposed to do what we like. The example of Cain is a very clear sign to us how this commandment number 6 must be taken heed at all costs. We shall learn later on, you know, what actually is the root of this commandment. Okay, because the Lord Jesus Christ will tell us the root of the cause of murder or even killing. And so the 6th commandment, thou shalt not kill, well, is for the children of Israel, how they relate to one another on a daily basis of their life. Now the King James translator gives a very accurate translation. Okay, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Okay, the Hebrew word is kill. Okay, it's kill instead of murder. If we were to look to other modern translation, just the NIV. But you will not find thou shalt not kill. Instead, you will find thou shalt not murder. But thou shalt not murder, is that a faithful translation? Is that a better translation? The answer is no. Because there is a difference between premeditated murder and accidental killing. Because if you say in this commandment number 6 is thou shalt not murder, then you will exclude accidental killing. Because murder is in with an intention, with the purpose to take a person's life. That's the meaning of murder. By force, not by accident. Murder is not by accident. Murder is always by force, okay? by intent. And so therefore, the King James translator is very accurate. Okay? It is supposed to be very general to cover all aspects, okay, under this commandment number 6. For God's people to keep. So to render it as murder would restrict to only premeditated killing and not accidental killing of a person. Okay, so the commandment was given to cover all aspects of life being taken, whether on purpose or by accident. And so in the larger context of these 10 commandments of the moral law, you can find the application of this commandment number 6 in the civil law. Because in the civil law, it will deal with what is the penalty. What is the outcome if you were to kill somebody? Or if you were to accidentally kill somebody? All are listed in the civil law. And so there is a penalty for the breaking of the 6th commandment. Whether it is premeditated murder or accidental killing. Now if it is premeditated murder, it's very consistent. You know, God's word is very consistent. A life for a life. You know, that's how we read in Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. You know, a man's blood will be required, you know, if you have taken a life. And so if you have committed premeditated murder, you have to pay for it by the capital punishment, and that is death penalty. Now this is not new, of course, to the children of Israel. And that is God's justice and his way to preserve life. And also remember, just now we read in Genesis 9, verse 6, for in the image of God made he them. That is also another reason why life is to be preserved. Because it is not like animals. No, it's not like angels. We are all made in the image of God. Okay, so God sees you and I very important. So man is special, man is unique. God wants them to be saved, not die. Now, as was always the case, even in the spiritual realm, God desires the soul to be redeemed and not perish in the lake of fire. That's why he sent Jesus to save us from our sin. But from the physical preservation of life, okay, we can see how from commandment number 6, God wants us to keep it. And it is relevant to our day-to-day living. But there is a penalty. There is a capital punishment if you were to take a life of intent. Okay, there's no other way out. Okay, that is God's law. Of course, we pray that the law of the land will continue to maintain this capital punishment. Because otherwise, if we were to do away with this capital punishment, and if there is any premeditated murder happen, people may just get away with it. Maybe a life sentence. Maybe they can just go to the jail for a number of years. And then they can be freed after serving their sentence. That would be disastrous, isn't it? Many will be killed. Murder, no, without having any consideration of how a life is so precious. And especially if for believers, we should take note of such a commandment that is so important for us to keep. Now what about accidental killing? Well, to the children of Israel, God has provided 6 cities of refuge, okay, to the west side of River Jordan and to the east side of River Jordan, 3 cities on each side. So God allows, you know, the one who killed somebody accidentally, not with intent, Okay, and all are found in the civil law. How they are to be punished as well, but there is a leeway for them. They are able to run to the cities of refuge, okay, and not die, because it is accidental killing. So they do not have to pay with their life. But unless they come out of the city of refuge, and then the avenger, okay, will be able to take them. Okay, will be able to take them to task. So as long as they remain in the city of refuge, until the high priest dies, then they will be let off scot-free. Okay. After the high priest dies, they will be a free man after that. But within the time frame, if they were to go out of the city of refuge, because they can go out anytime, the avenger cannot go in and take their life. The city of refuge is supposed to protect them. Okay. So that is for accidental killing. Now, of course, it must be proven first. It's not by word that you say, or accidentally kill a man. All the investigation will be done, all the witnesses will be called for. Then once it's proven that it is by accident, then you can go to the city of refuge and you will receive all the protection that is given to you. But if not, you will still be liable for capital punishment. So God's law is very just, isn't it? The punishment that God gave for breaking the sixth commandment, God is just and fair. He did not underpunish, and he did not overpunish. And this is a judicial system for Israel. Okay? Very fair, very just. And it ranges from the theocracy, which is under the direct rule of God himself in the time of the judges, all the way to the monarchy period, to the king's period. Okay? King Saul, King David, King Solomon, and so on. This commandment number 6 was kept as part of the civil law. Now, the whole purpose of all this, okay, is that the whole world may see the justice, okay, and the righteousness of God through Israel. That when they look at Israel, it is a land of law and order, not a lawless land. What will happen to a lawless land? Everyone will be running away from the lawless land, isn't it? Because there is no safety. There is no security. Everyone is the law to himself. You know, everyone is responsible for his own safety. And so everyone will take up arms to protect themselves. You know, if need be, they will shoot others in order to defend themselves. There is no law, in other words. They are a law unto themselves. But thank God for his law, that Israel is to shine in the midst of the darkness around them. That when Israel followed the law of God faithfully, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, they will shine in the midst of this darkness. Then they will see Israel is so different. Why? Because it is under a righteous God, a just God. That is the whole purpose, isn't it? Now, however, the understanding of the sixth commandment among God's people was actually very severely distorted. In fact, it was evident in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that the people understood the sixth commandment as only the outward form, okay, as only the act of murder itself, act of killing itself. They don't care about the motive. They don't care about the roots. They don't care about know whether you have the intent or not. As long as you do the act, you know, you'll be found guilty. And so if you look at the sixth commandment in this way, actually very easy to keep. Perhaps the easiest of all the commandments. Because hardly anyone will take a life of another human life, isn't it? Perhaps it never crossed in our mind before. How I would take a life, you know, even like when we want to kill a lizard or a cockroach, well, you're so very scared. You would kill a life, you know, even more frightening. I don't think we will ever think of that. Maybe for those who are really very angry, we become unsound already. Maybe those will want to do that. And so is this the way we understand the sixth commandment? Now if we turn to Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ corrected the distortion. To put back the right understanding of commandment number 6 into the understanding of the people. And then when we understand the root of commandment number 6, then even before anything that comes out from our mouth or even our action to want to kill, you know, when we address the root, the problem is solved. There is don't even need to murder someone in order to be breaking the sixth commandment. Now let us look at Matthew chapter 5, 21 to 26. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26. Well, it's an extension of the sixth commandment. Okay, and how the Lord expound this sixth commandment even clearer. Okay, and how we should apply it in our day-to-day living. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to verse 26. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. The exactly the sixth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Okay, so the people have understood correctly. Okay, this is a commandment that is perpetual, and it remains even until this day. But what is the problem? Verse 22. But I say unto you, this is where the Lord is correcting the distortion. It's not just the act of murder itself. It's not just the act of killing. What is the root? That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. So this is our memory verse. Verse 22. Anger without a just cause. Equivalent to breaking the sixth commandment. I think this will be a shock to those who heard what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. But then when you look at what Jesus has said, it is so true, isn't it? Because we know that before a murder is committed, before a killing is committed, no, there must be some hatred. You must have hate the person so much because of what the person had done to you. Maybe of all the evil, of all the cheating, of all the fraud, that caused you to make such a big loss. Or maybe it has harmed you so greatly. It has done so much disadvantage to your life. That now you're overwhelmed. That you become unsound. Your mind is full of hatred, bitterness against this person. Day and night you just think of getting rid of him. But is it a just cause? No. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Now what is a cause? What is a just cause? We must all be angry when we see sin, when we see the name of God being blasphemed. Or the Bible being undermined. That is a just cause. If somebody hurt you, if somebody say call you name, because that's because they don't like you. Do you have a right to be angry with them? Let them be. Don't be angry. Because what's the point of being angry? Be angry for a just cause. And what is a just cause? For the right reason. Think that pertaining to our faith. Think that pertaining to God's word. Think that pertaining to God's name, the character of God. We must all stand up. Okay? And it is not a sin to be angry. Well, do not be deceived by those psychologists who tell you, anger is a bad thing. No, anger is a sin. Anger is not a sin because God himself is also angry. When we sin against God, God is definitely angry. But we know that God did not sin. God cannot sin. Because if God can sin, then he is no more God. And so the emotion, anger, can be righteous. Okay, if it is done in the right way, according to his word. And what is not right is many a time we are angry for the wrong reason. And not only for the wrong reason, we react in the wrong way. we respond wrongly. We bang table, we throw things. Okay, we scream, we shout, we fight. These are all the wrong response out of anger. And that is the consequence. Okay, what is the consequence? Though whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And this judgment is the same judgment fall under thou shalt not kill. The same judgment. In other words, a capital punishment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka, well, the word Raka means stupid, or not stupid, or useless. Okay, something that is no more in use, useless, shall be in danger of the council. Well, the council is how the 70 elders, okay, come together, the Sanhedrin council, to mete out the punishment. They will hear him, and then they will pass the sentence. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, which is a moron, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now these are just words only. Not even the act of killing. Not even taking a knife or some object to take the life of another. Just words only. But we know very clearly by experience, word can kill. Word can destroy a person. Discourage a person. Words can cause a person, you know, to be so low, to be so despised. The power of words. And though these are just words only, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be even careful with our words. The anger that is found within us. Unjust, we must curb it. We must not let it go uncontrolled. We must not let it brew within us. If we let it go uncontrolled, then the word that came out will be raka, will be doubtful. And then before you know it, you commit the act of killing. And so what do we do? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the example. The restoration. How do we be right, make right before God? 23-26. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, well, and that is worship, and there remember that thy brother has ought against thee. So that someone has been angry with you. And so you remember. And so before you come for worship, verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What is the right way? Restoration. It may be a case of you may be right, the other is wrong, but you still take the initiative to go and reconcile. The reason is because we want all, you know, if it's a brother, we want all to come before God to worship God. We are the same God. We believe in the same Savior. How to we allow anything to prevent us from worshipping God? We should help one another. Put away the conflict. Resolve it. Settle it. And then verse 25. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with them, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Well, if you are in the wrong, apologize. Say sorry. Is it too hard to say sorry? Husband and wife, is it very difficult to say sorry to each other? Because if you harbor anger and let it go unresolved, in other words, you are allowing your anger, it may be a just cause, but you allow your anger uncontrolled, then it becomes sin. That will not be right in the sight of God, isn't it? Well, the topic is, am I a murderer? Well, if I prepare this message, I ask myself, am I a murderer? Well, I look at my family. So many a time, I was angry with them. My wife, I have been a murderer to her many times over. How I'm angry with her, and I failed to reconcile with her immediately. It took some time, it took a while, you know, until the Spirit convicts me, had to put me to shame. Why must all this happen? And then to my children, same thing. Because of pride, oh, I don't want to say sorry. Not only that, to brothers and sisters in Christ, how we have become murderers and found guilty of just being angry and allowing your anger to become sin. That is terrible, isn't it? It can happen to any one of us. Should we take commandment number 6 lightly? We cannot. Easily words can come out from our heart of anger, our heart of bitterness. You may phrase it in all the right words, but if it is done out of anger, hatred, it is still wrong, isn't it? But if it is done out of love, then it makes the whole world different. Your attitude will change. Your mannerism will change. Because you seek after reconciliation. God wants us to be reconciled. Now this is personal injury. Is that too difficult for us to say sorry? Let's put away our big fat face. No, let's put away our pride and say sorry. Is it very hard? No, between parents and children, between husband and wife, between friends, colleagues, classmates. If we are a believer, we have this wonderful privilege to be able to show forth this ability, you know, to keep this commandment, number 6, with great blessing. And so what should we do now? Because unkind words, harsh words spoken cannot be retrieved back. You scream at the top of your voice in anger. No, all this cannot act as if nothing has happened. It has all happened. The damage is done already. You know, all those words that came out from the mouth, you know, were out to hurt and to destroy. You know, just like water that is being poured out. You cannot retrieve them again. In full, you can't. Not even in part. Once it is thrown out, it is out. You cannot take it back anymore. And so what can you do? In fact, not just words. You slam the door very hard. No, you can easily put the cup gently, but then you smash it. You bang it. You throw things to vent your frustration. You punch the wall, you punch the table. Just to let everybody know how angry you are. So what should you do now? All done and said, you cannot reverse them. There's no other way but to repent. God wants us to repent. God wants us to say sorry. Seek reconciliation to all my victims, you know, of all my murderous acts, whether it be by verbal abuse. I have to say sorry. Well, it's really not about, you know, at the end of the day, oh, how right I am or how wrong you are. Let us forgive one another. Yes, there is a wrong committed. We must address it. We must rebuke sin. We must reprove sin. But there is also an exaltation, a restoration. Let us not forget to forgive. Let us not forget to restore the fellowship, the relationship that we can have with one another. So parents and children the same. No, husband and wife, as we live with each other, it's a struggle. Okay, two different personalities trying to live together, sharing the same bed, living in the same house, sure got conflict. Parents and children also the same. In fact, I come across children refuse to say sorry. Just a few months ago, I was at a coffee shop. I saw a toddler, a young girl, crying. I don't know why she cried, but the mother had been scolding her. Say sorry. I overheard. But the girl refused. Say sorry. Refused to say. By the time I finished my food, I leave the coffee shop. She still refused to say sorry. So is it so difficult to say sorry? Our parents must set good examples. Many a time, the behavior of our children actually reflect the parents' behavior as well. And so parents, you know, we all must set good examples, godly examples to our children. When we learn to say sorry, you know, the amazing impact that you have upon them, you know, will be so rewarding. That you will find that they will also be ready to say sorry when they realize that they are in the wrong. They will confess. And don't repeat our mistakes. Let us learn to do the right thing, so that we will not stumble anyone. Not just our children, but our brethren in Christ. Everyone. Okay? We are our brother's keeper. Remember Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. We are all our brother's keeper. We are all responsible to look out for one another. We are supposed to edify. To build up, not destroy. Now, all these are personal, the right thing to do. What about doctrine and faith? Well, for those who taught wrong doctrine, you cannot say, never mind, we can still fellowship together. It's a different thing altogether. We should not compromise. There should not be any reconciliation until we come to the agreement in the same doctrine. But otherwise, there should be no fellowship. It doesn't mean that you do something bad to the other person who have a different doctrine than you. It's just that you make clear to him that we are not the same. We are not on the same side. We are not having the same mind. I won't do anything harmful to you. No, if you need help, I will help you. I will be there for you. No, if you are on the roadside, no, tire punctured, I will be there to help you if I pass by and I saw you need help. But other than that, there should be no fellowship. There should not be no combined prayer meeting that we can have together. Worship together, we can't. Service together, we can't. Because of a different faith, different mind that we have, different doctrine. We cannot agree on all these things. But until when they repent, they submit to the right counsel of God, then the doctrine and faith, now we are all the same. Then we can be reconciled. We must always look forward to that. You know, somebody asked me, how do we pray for our previous church? Since we came out from there. Well, my answer to this person is that the truth may set them free. Because it is the same truth that has set us free. We are made free to believe in the right doctrine and to obey in the right doctrine and follow it. But if you choose to believe in the wrong doctrine, then there is no restoration. There is no fellowship. So my only prayer for them, for the previous church, is that they may come to know the truth. Both leaders and members, that the truth will set them free. And that's the only way. I look forward to that. I look forward to the day where they truly come to know the truth, embrace the truth, you know, and believe that the Bible has no mistake. Okay, and we all have the inspired and the preserved word. Today, I think I'm more than happy to fellowship with them again. And so, am I a murderer? Personally, there are many things that we are all guilty of. Let us resolve it. The victims of our murderous act, let us apologize to them. let us reconcile with them. Let commandment number 6 be a commandment that is a blessing to keep. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. How thou hast rebuked us in our sin, for hardness of heart, for unwilling to say sorry when we know. Even to seek reconciliation and fill our heart with pride and unwilling to restore an erring brother. O Lord, we pray that thou will help us to obey thy word, and in all things that we do and say, that thy word will change us, will mold us into an instrument of blessing, and not a stumbling block. And Lord, we pray that thou will help us keep commandment number 6. And even not to be angry without a just cause. And even if we are angry with a just cause, let our anger be under control. And to seek reconciliation. And to address sin in a manner according to thy word. To rebuke sin in love. And help us, O Lord, to continue to remember this precious lesson. And may thy Holy Spirit help us apply what we have learned in our day-to-day Christian life. We commit all this unto thy loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.